Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 275 for September 21st, 2020. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today I have arranged for Anka Metcalf, Michael Filigera, Neil Batho, and the option professor to join us. And Jim, the option professor, will be moderating. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, let's get right into it because it's quite a Monday, bloody Monday out there. Let's start out and introduce ourselves to people who are not familiar with everybody, and then we'll get right into it. First, we're going to start out with Anka of Trade Out Loud. You guys all know her, but just for those who are new to us here, Anka, a little background on yourself.
Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, depending on where you are on the globe. My name is Anka Metcalf, and I'm the CEO and founder of TradeOutLoud.com, which is a trading education firm that is specialized in educating individuals how to day trade and swing trade the futures and the equities market. I personally swing trade the futures market in the first 2 hours of the trading day, and I specialize in just day trading futures with around that time. And I also swing trade futures and equities for the rest of the day. I basically need about 10 minutes for managing those particular trades on every single day. I've been doing this professionally for the last 17 years, and I also come into this industry before becoming a retail trader. I have 10 plus years in investment banking. I'm also focused on high technical velocity moves into the market. And that's about it. If you want to hear more about what we offer and what we do, you can head on to tradeoutloud.com.
Okay. And Michael Filigera from Logical Signals, a little background, Michael. And again, what's going on at the company?
Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon. I am Michael Filigera. I am the owner, proprietor of Logical Signals.com. My background is that I've been trading professionally in the markets since 1979, and I was an options market maker here in San Francisco, also in the London traded options market, European options exchange, and then the DTB, which is the German exchange. I returned to the United States in 1997 and went back to the Pacific. But when the markets began to go electronic at the turn of the millennium, I then also made a decision to leave the floor because most of the business was being done electronically. And then in about 2013, I decided to focus more on volatility and how it affects day trading. And that's where I started to focus on day trading. And that remains my focus today. I day trade the equity futures, but also crude, also gold. And I can update gold a little bit later if you'd like. But right now, I'm going to leave it at that.
And okay. And you'll get into that stuff a little bit later on the broadcast. But right now, we're going to hear from Neil Batho, a little background, Neil, and of course, what's going on at your company.
Okay, Jim, thank you. Well, I used to work in the industry, like many people on this show, and now we're all writing our own newsletters. And so I've been writing Trader Review for many years now, and my specialty really is precision timing, and I use a top-down approach where first I'll look at market, then I'll look at sector, and then I'll look at the stock. And remember that 80% of all stocks follow the direction of the market. So you have to be really aware of where you think the market's going to be going. And I send out all these alerts to my clients, and I use some interesting point and figure methodologies that they still use on the Chicago Board of Options Exchange. And I send out the best picks I can at any given time to my clients. And it's usually only about, you know, 3 to 8 picks at a time. Many of them are ETFs and leveraged ETFs.
Okay. All right. Let's get into the questions that we have on Mondays, which the first one is always, where do you think the market will be on Friday, basis where we opened today? We opened today at 3285. So using 1385 as a opening point, where do we think it might end by Friday? Anka, you're up first.
I am here. Okay. So I think that if we try to find a temporary bottom, we're sitting on massive support right here. I'm confident enough that there's a 50-50 shot. So I would be like 50-50 on this, and we can talk technicals. I think we can, you know, your next question is probably going to be about technicals.
The next one's going to be to get in behind the curtain on your opinion. But right now, what's the basic opinion? It may bounce, and then we'll get into your confidence level. Hello, Anka?
Okay, sorry about that. It was my mic. Yeah. So my opinion is about 50-50. And I think
Let's just get one way or the other. So right now you think it could bounce by Friday?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Next guy up is Michael. What's your short answer to where we're going to be between now and Friday from 30 to 85?
Lower.
Hey, you got a 45-point jump on it. What?
Yeah, really.
What about Neil?
Lower.
Okay. Now let's go behind the curtain. Anka was saying that technically she's seeing some type of possible support. And of course, the end of the month will be coming up. So maybe there'll be that mercy rally to make the statement not look so bad, huh? But what are you seeing, Anka, that would give you an idea that we could bounce? Obviously, we're having a very high volume sell-off. And you know,
that, okay. What I'm seeing right now in the market is that we have a massive confluence area. First of all, we are trading very close on the weekly to the 20 SMA into the 32.25 spot.
Right.
That spot is coming with massive resistance from the week of June 8th and also June 1st. So we have a double top formation there. We came in with quite a bit of symmetry of what we see right now in the market. Plus, we have the pivotal low from January 27 when everything started to become real with coronavirus. And we have that little pop up and then we have the drop. And that is from 127. So we do have a massive confluence support right here into the 32.20 spot.
Yeah. And of course, you know, when we're talking about a bounce back by Friday, that's a very short term time frame. So sometimes when you throw a ball off of a cliff, it does bounce, right?
Exactly. And this is contingent. So if this spot is going to hold, so for me, because yeah. I'm a short term trader and also a medium term trader, I'm looking for 32.20 to 32.25 to hold. If this spot is going to hold, then yes, we are going to be heading higher. I think that there are going to be some algos that are going to kick into that spot. This is what I call like the calibration after the quad week. And we're just going to have to wait for the close on the day today. However, the weekly, like I said, the weekly chart looks pretty strong. I'm a little bit concerned about the monthly chart because it's into a sell formation. So until the pattern, you know, kind of like improves a little bit, we may see some downside going into October. Let's not forget that October is a massive volatility month, but we also have back to the catalyst and back into the earnings season, stocks start reporting and all that stuff. So fundamentals are going to be front and center. But if we close weak on the week, on the monthly, and we, like I said, we have about a week and 2 days left into this month, then definitely I could see a retest a little bit lower into the 32 and 3160-ish zone.
Yeah. You know, the economic numbers start to roll over a little bit on Open Table and bookings for hotels and credit card expenses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are realizing that we're stalling. And when you stall and you're at an advanced stage, you're going to get a correction. And basically, it's mostly coming out of value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, look at value. I mean, what they're saying is value is cyclical, and cyclical means we have to have a stronger economy, and the economy's stalled or rolling over a bit, and that's not when you want to be loading up on value, and that's what's dragging the markets down even more than tech today. Anyway, what are you seeing, Michael, as far as your probabilities that you're right on this down, and what's behind the curtain on why you think it's going to continue?
I actually am, and similar to others that have already said, I'm 50-50, so I have a 50% probability that we will close below. The big difference for me is that I am not a swing trader anymore. And so being a day trader does put a little bit of a stronger spin for the downside, because I do believe that the market is continuing down in a corrective pattern, but it's where we sit within that corrective pattern that we should begin to see some acceleration. We did see that, already this morning, by all means, we've seen some acceleration, but I think it lasts longer than just a day. And so the ability, and I do believe that the market will bounce. And so what day they want to start that bounce is also going to affect on how quickly they're going to get themselves back above 3,200. So I believe that we will drop below 3,200 and probably down closer to the daily 200 moving average, what I have at 3,126-ish, right in that area. So I think we could pay a visit down there and then bounce. And then that bounce is not, I don't think the bounce would be strong enough to pull us back above 3,285, which I continue to say lower. I do believe the market will bounce. So, you know, nothing go straight down, nothing goes straight up. But I think that the overall trend for right now is down.
Right. Yeah, the difficult thing on a market like this is if you do want to short it, where do you put your stop? 100 points higher on the S&P?
Right.
If you want to take a bite at the long side, you got 3220, 3225, which is not that far from where we've been today. So from the standpoint of where you could put risk control in there, you're a little bit tighter on the bounce than you are if you want to start shorting after an 80-point drop. Neil, what are you thinking here as far as you thought it was going to go down, probability? You know, what's behind the curtain on these thoughts of yours?
Well, I think there comes a time when people just throw in the towel, you know. So, you know, it's not a normal pullback. People might think, you know, hey, oh, wow, it's 10% pullback on this stock. That's even a better deal, you know. But, you know, think of the stock market. Like, picture yourself on our Armani store, okay, and it's got 10% off. They're going to get a lot of people, right? Then it's got another sale, 20% off. They're going to get a lot of people. Now, imagine an Armani store where the sale is 50% off. You're going to think to yourself, is this a scam? I don't think I want to buy here, you know. I mean, it just comes a point where you just got to give up. And I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, it doesn't matter what your political stance is. The election is going to be contested, and it's going to be 20 times worse than Bush in 2000. You know,
I mean it could be that way. What you're saying is you're expecting that to be the case.
Yeah. I mean, so many millions of people are going to mail these ballots in. I mean, who's going to count them? Are we going to have a hanging Chad disaster? You remember that?
I was listening to Larry Summers, the former Treasury guy, and he thinks it's a 90% chance that the election won't be that close, and ergo, it won't be that much of a problem. But there's a 10% chance that it will be, and he said that 10% is very scary.
Yeah, I mean...
And what you're saying is you think that 10% is more like 50% or 80%, huh?
Well, you know what? In the market, reality doesn't matter because perception becomes reality.
Yeah.
So in the next 6 weeks, is it about 6 weeks? Perception,
yeah, like that,
reality. And so people know it's going to be bad. And so the market likes certainty. And now there is no certainty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Unless the states start rolling in, you know, obviously with a more lopsided victory. So that's the key. And if it's not a lopsided victory, then that 10% that he's worried about and everything you're worried about is probably going to be a problem. But all right. So anyway, you think the election obviously is a big dice roll. And ergo, that's not going to be positive for the market. And the economic numbers are showing a little bit of a stall, possibly.
Also,
valuations obviously were stretched, and we're having a bit of a reversion trade, right? At the end of the day, reversion back towards the 50 and the 200 day?
I just see a continued sell-off with maybe some small bounces this week. Jerome Powell also is not an economist, and whenever he talks, the market goes down. So, I mean... what's the Fed really up to? They want to have more than 2% inflation, but how much more? I mean, I've done my own inflation calculations, and the U.S. has been running at 5% inflation at least for 10 years. I mean, that's why a cheeseburger, fries, and a Coke cost you $30 now. And 10 years ago, maybe it cost you $12.95. I mean, I still remember this kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, another factor is the value of the dollar, which peaked in March at 104, had a 10, 11% drop. Everything went up during that drop, and now the dollar has hit a little bit of a low, and it's up today. And if it's going to go to 95 or 94 or 96 or something. Obviously, that big support that it had for all these assets that are dropping now has been taken away a bit. So I think watching the value of the dollar is not a bad indicator either. What indicators, talking about indicators, Anka, what were you thinking as far as, you know, some of the indicators that you're watching?
All right. So I am just using very simple indicators. If you're referring to the indicators that smooth out my price action and help me take decisions in the market, I use very simple indicators, and I use just a few moving averages, volume. I want to see market participation, whether I'm day trading or swing trading. I want to be in something that is very liquid, whether stocks or ETFs. So I use the 20 SMA, the 10 EMA, and the 50 SMA on all my time frames, of course. And I have the daddy of all moving averages, the 200 SMA as well. And that's pretty much it. That's what I use on my charting. And for me, price action is king. I need to wait for really straight pattern formations in order to make sure that I have, a really good setup that it is playable. And I'm very selective in my trades, very selective, whether I day trade or swing trade, I'm very selective in my trades. And today we had two counter trends into that I did earlier with my traders, then they're working beautifully right now. NASDAQ's still the strongest one, so respecting really nice, good parameters. And again, it's price action. It's all about price formation, exactly what I did mention earlier about the SPX as having into that bounce zone. So these are also algo reach areas that I mentioned into the mini S&P.
Yeah, are you doing the Qs at all? Because I thought that hit a little bit of a low point here that it bounced off of, huh?
Yeah. Oh, and I did forget, I do use the William percent R, and we did have an oversold point into the market this morning that that literally created the perfect environment for a pop. And again, NASDAQ, again, the strongest NASDAQ. So futures NASDAQ is what I traded. The Qs as well, a little bit stronger. And the Qs actually came first into that weekly rotation point, and just very, very mild, very mild pullback into that spot. And right now, you know, if the price action is going to be right, I think that we may get a bigger pop right now. So it's all about, you know, taking out, we have a pressure point into the 850. We break over that 850 and change. We're going to snap back up for about, I would say, close to 100 points up. So we have really good chances of ending the day green into NASDAQ here. NASDAQ futures is only down right now, only 81 points.
Yeah, because the people seem to be ditching the idea of value, which they started to put on, because these economic numbers are saying stall. And that's not what you want to hear in value. And then they're running back into tech, which has been discounted. And obviously, tech's big thing is that interest rates are at zero. And that means their cost of doing all the business is, you know, almost at zero. So the bottom line is...
Yeah, but they do have a lot of other ways of making money. So financials are still... I still think that there may be some rotation into financials. And again, it's just about a technical pattern, because as technical traders, we all need to look at the patterns to make sure that when we get in, it's an optimum spot. Institutions as well look for this. And I think it's just a matter of seeing, you know, right now, and we're still, like I said, we're still right after this quad. So I was expecting this. And in fact, I did talk about this with my traders all last week and the week before that. And we were expecting the sell. We were aware that this is going to happen into the quad. And we talked about this calibration Monday, possibly Tuesday. But the reason why I think that we may be heading a little bit higher going, you know, speaking of indicators and speaking of, kind of like what I think is going to happen in the market based on technicals. Also, let's not ignore the fact that we're almost a week away from the end of the month. And it is the end of the quarter after all. So we can expect a little bit of window dressing. So hence the relative strength into NASDAQ and into the Qs and into some of the tech stocks, especially semiconductors. Semiconductors have been a little bit stronger today, and they're seeing the bigger pop because guess what? Guess who the leaders were in the last 3 months? Semiconductors and tech stocks. And it's not a surprise that the tech stocks are going to start to run a little bit higher based on the window dressing effect.
Yeah. And Sony's coming out with a big PlayStation, which is going to be good for NVIDIA. And Activision. Exactly. Activision's got stuff coming up, which is good for NVIDIA. And of course, 5G is going to be good for a lot of these guys. So after, you know, people are looking beyond the immediate, and those are the people probably trying to pick up some things. Michael, what's behind you?
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, Michael, what's behind the curtain on you as far as your thinking, and what do you see happening right now?
Well, behind the curtain are good. It's a lot of the things that Anka just has mentioned, but I add Elliott Wave, and I've been an Elliott Wave technician forever. I learned Elliott Wave in 1988, and I've used it ever since. And I also used Fibonacci relationships to kind of pinpoint some exit and entries. And one major thing that kind of pointed to a stronger down day today for me was I keep an eye on volume, and the volume in Apple on Friday, granted it was a big expiration, it was 289 million shares of Apple traded on Friday. And
what's normal?
That was down. Oh. So that to me just kind of signified there were a lot of people are bailing out. Then I, like Anika, said, well, there's got to be a point where they're going to re-put on all those positions, or they're just going to re-enter the market. And so I'm watching today. So far, we're at 121. one about halfway through the day. And so if we have another large day, I'm just knowing everybody's come back in and they're going to continue to push it higher. And Apple being a strong participant in the S&P, in the NASDAQ, and also the Russell, it's not unusual to see others follow higher. One thing that I did notice today as well, that as far as the semiconductors, AMD never went negative. Mm-hmm. And AMD's been up through this entire downswing we got this morning. And now it's up even stronger as we come out of it. Some of the others that have really reacted again, in line with what Anka is saying, and I agree with what she said, is NVIDIA. NVIDIA is now up 7 after being down 12. So, yeah. You know, we're seeing these reversals happen. Now, whether they're going to carry through and carry through for the balance of the week to push us back up by Friday, yet to be seen. But I think on just an interim basis that we do get to those points where the market finds value and turns.
Yeah.
And I think that is, I agree in the NASDAQ that we slipped down, we got below 10,700, and that was a pretty big move for the NASDAQ, and they found value down there, and now they've been pushing it up ever since. So that's how I base much of what I'm saying in terms of that I feel the market will be lower, the S&P will be lower on Friday than where it opened today, is on that same basis. Bounces, yes, absolutely. But it's going to be, now I got to watch the strength. The strength of that bounce is just as a normal bounce after a big swing low.
Right.
Very possible. But right now, I think, yeah, we bounce, but we still have additional downside before we get that more sustainable over several day bounce.
Yeah. You know, you were talking about Elliott Wave and the guys who I watch and listen to on that. They basically have been telling me for a month and a half that September, October, November is going to be a very dangerous time frame, and yes, it's going to create a tremendously good buying opportunity, but at significantly lower levels than we're looking at today. Is that pretty much where you're at?
Absolutely. And I mean, if we want to turn it back to the NASDAQ, I think the NASDAQ can drop back to 6,500 before all said.
That's some of the things that the Elliott does. They give you these targets, and sometimes you say, wow, that's really an aggressive target. But, you know, things happen. Things happen, right?
And then it hits it, right? Yeah. I mean, what are we've already added in today several things about, well, we've got an election coming up. Was it going to be disputed? Is it not going to be disputed? Is it going to be accepted? Who is going to be voted in? What is that going to do? Either way. Now, how I answer that is, like, I don't care who's in the White House, the market's going down.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with the Elliott Wave stuff, my opinion is that it's very good to tell you that Hurricane Sally's coming, to tell you what minute it's going to be there. It might not be that great for that. But if you know Sally's coming, at least you're not in town when it hits.
Yes.
And that's basically the value I see, is it gives you good warnings on some major activity sometimes. Hey, right. Neil, what are you seeing as far as technicals or special kind of things that you're seeing that is, you know, making your opinion such?
Well, I just wanted to mention Elliott Wave because Michael's absolutely right about how important it can be. But what I noticed, I was looking a few months ago at the rebound from the very bottom, and Michael, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but an Elliott Wave would be a big rally up and then two pullbacks with a fake double bottom sell signal to get the weak shareholders out, then another big rally, then another fake double bottom sell signal to get more weak holders out, and then another big rally, right? I looked at it, and it is exactly spot on if you look at the rebound. And right. I looked at it and thought, oh my God, this is exactly Elliott Wave.
Yeah. And the Elliott Wave has definitely told you September, October, and November is a danger zone, and it's also going to be a huge opportunity zone, because after this period, you're going to get the stimulus, you're going to get more Fed printing, you're going to get the dollar to go back down, you're going to get a lot of things that made this thing go again. So this is not a time, it's like back to Buffett, be greedy when people are fearful, and they're starting to get fearful, and the possibility of them getting very fearful in the next 60 days is quite high.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go back to Anka, because Anka, I'm interested in hearing her give more information on her trading philosophy and scheduling, because I like the way she follows momentum and by using the moving averages, etc. And also she does keep things on somewhat of a leash. So if she happens to be incorrect on one thing or something, it's not going to kill her. So Anka, could you go into a little bit of your philosophy and how you come up with ideas and how you manage the risk on them?
Sure. I like the way that you mentioned, that I keep them on a leash. I actually keep all my trades on a very tight leash, and I keep, a very active management style in a place. I'm extremely technical. I would say that I'm 99% technical and only 1% fundamental in that's because, like, yeah, we need to keep an eye on whatever is happening out there. But I cannot ignore the fact that, you know, we do have like a lot of relative strength in some names. And this is one of the advantages of being a futures trader and also being a stock trader, is because you love to correlate these two markets and you're getting more insight of what's working with the, you know, via relative strength, via NASDAQ stocks, via whether it is via, let's say, the Dow stocks or the mini S&P stocks. So you're definitely getting, you know, a lot of insight and information about your decision on a day-to-day. I also love the fact that I'm a day trader and a swing trader, because when I'm putting the day trader hat on in the morning, I'm a little bit more aggressive and I tend to be a little bit more cautious about entries and of course about managing my risk into the trading session. So I do watch tick by tick price action, like I said, because I'm focused on high velocity. I'm not focused on just getting 1 to 2 ticks out of the market like a regular day trader in the futures market. So I look for velocity, I look for price continuation and patterns that are strong and able to sustain these big pushes to the upside or to the downside. But today we saw some really strong signs into the market of bottoming, of temporary bottoms, and we had price evidence. We also had technicals that were pointing to a temporary bottom, and off of these quick rotations that are happening right now in the market. And you need to be on top of the wave, and don't be don't let your ego dictate the move, saying, hey, you know what, I said that I'm gonna be bullish for, let's say, the rest of the week, and even if I say contingent on not breaking that level. But you're always going to see a reaction into those spots. So these are very sensitive spots, and I do agree with everyone in here. Neil, I just wanted to point out, amazing, what you mentioned about election. That is spot on. That's exactly my thought, exactly, of what's going to happen. And we're going to be entering into this roller coaster kind of movement as we're going into the latter half of October. I think that it's going to be very difficult, to trade from a swing trading standpoint, because I think that we're going to get a lot of whipsaw going into election and even after election. I think that the next calming down of the markets, and next, let's say, if the volatility is going to come back down, probably next March or so, because there's still going to be a lot of stuff that is happening into the market. And I agree with Michael, what you said earlier about the Elliott waves, and what we saw right now is this top in the mini S&P, and we had an ABC rotation with a double top right below, because I do use the, like I said earlier, I do use the 20 SMA. We did have that double top right above that 3,400. So we're going to use that ballpark 3,400 in the S&P. And then we're having the other, so we have the ABC, and now we're having the D leg down. So this is going to be some kind of decision point. And now we have to wait and see how far this D leg is going down for the price action. But right now, baby steps. So again, this is, higher time frames. Then of course, intraday, you're having the changes in the trend, I would say intermediate change in the trend on smaller time frames. So it's just a battle in between time frames right now. And we're going to have to wait and see who's winning here. But my philosophy is that, in terms of, managing risk, this is primarily the most important thing that we can do in our trading. Position sizing, I always, position size less, especially in volatile market conditions, because you're more likely to stop out of trades into this kind of market environment. One other takeaway here is that if I learned something throughout the years, I've been trading for over 20 years now, day trading day to day, like literally day to day. So the one thing that I've learned is that, don't be complacent. It's always much better to take your loss and then move on, try to identify another trade. The other thing that I would be focusing is, especially, a lot of traders get caught on the right side, on the wrong side of the trade often. But you have to use common sense as well, because when you're, waking up, when you're seeing that down is down 500 points, when you're seeing it weak, doing a bear flag on the 1H chart and it's just ready to pinch lower, that might not be my first choice to short there, because after a tremendous move that happened in the overnight trading session, I don't want to be the seller at that point, because I don't know if right off the open the institutions are not going to do that periscope low, you know, that forced sell that they often do to get the price on a discount and then punch it back up. And this is exactly what happened in NASDAQ today. And the other thing is that, you know, patience to wait for price action to line up perfectly with your timing in the market, with your trigger times as well, with the pricing, and with all the elements that you have on the chart. So when the markets are fast, I tend to zoom out a little bit, and I also always slow down. So when fast-paced market environment, volatile market environment, I slow down so I can take a better decision. And I would like to wait for price confirmation. That's key for me. So waiting for a price confirmation.
Yeah. No, short-term day trading obviously has a good reason for today, because, you know, if you held things overnight over the weekend, this was quite a gap down to wake up to.
Yep.
There's three things a lot of people are thinking might be real problems coming up. One is obviously the stimulus, either not enough or they take it away too fast. Second thing is a second round of the virus. And the third thing would be maybe banks may have more problems than you think that have not surfaced yet. But Michael, you know, before we lose track of time here, I know you have some ideas on the short-term trading, but you also have some ideas on gold.
Yep.
And, you know, the Elliott Wave guys are thinking gold could see a 1700 print during this drop. Do you see it that way? Or do you
I actually do. That was really good. That was a good segue into this.
Yeah.
Because yes, I do. we saw it drop below 1900 this morning, and we saw it drop below, which should have been support. It basically held, but it got down to, let me just figure this one out.
I saw silver broke 24. I think that's important.
Yeah. But gold got down to 1880.
Yeah.
And then before it started to bounce again. So again, I think that off of the high at 2089 in gold, the market has been involved in just a pullback. But because of the nature of the size of that rally that took us up above 2000, I have to also then consider that to how far it can drop down. I think ultimately the potential for this market to drop to 1685 is very real. Now, is that, and that could be between now and the end of the year, for all we know. And again,
if that dollar index goes to 94, 95, 96, there's your reason.
Right, right. That's exactly right. Because that there's a very, very strong dollar euro correlation with gold. And also the thing that I find very amusing, particularly today with it being sold off so much, the gold market hates uncertainty. Now, market uncertainty included. And there was uncertainty in the market as to whether why should it continue to go up versus it needs to correct and go down. So as we saw yesterday, as the NASDAQ and other markets continue to rally higher, gold rallied with them because of the uncertainty of what was in the market. Then we see, oh, you guys did take it down. That's what we were kind of expecting that the market would do. Now, what are they doing? They're selling out of the gold. Now, gold still needs to correct. I've always carried a core position in gold, but I did that via futures. And what I had always planned was that I was going to cash out of my futures, convert a lot to gold, put some of that gold into a vault, and then put the other into a 401k and trade it. And that's pretty much what I did. So I have a core position in physical gold,
but
that's not tradable for me. That's just
right.
Leave alone.
Right.
And I still think that gold has a lot more downside potential right now than upside. So I think that, you know, if you're a longer term trader, you might want to look at options and continue to just, you know, pick up puts where you can pick them up on a cheap level and look for the market to break quite a ways. I mean, if it breaks below 1800, then I said, then I'm more convinced that, you know, 1685 is a sure thing.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, that's going to be a big support level, I think, right around that 1800 level, 1810.
That's where the resistance was on the way up.
Yeah, and I think that's where the support will be coming back down. You're absolutely correct on that one.
All right, Neil, I wanted to ask you a quick question. You know, I know you have a few markets that you're in your newsletter, so you don't want to give away the goose here, but on a generic basis or, a general basis, what are some of the themes that you're trying to take advantage of right now? Neil, did Neil get caught?
I think he got kicked off.
He got kicked off? The Canadian Mounties got him, or what do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Anyhow, we're not lacking for information or opinions. So let's go back to Anka. And Anka, do you have any specific markets that you're kind of, because it seems like if we're going to slow down and if we're going to, pull back a little bit, stall out in essence, and it's going to kill the value. I mean, value gap down. Europe and international stocks gap down. So when they gap down, a lot of times they go down. And so maybe we'll get more friendly to the tech sector again, which has had a nice drop, and it really loves that that low interest rate environment.
And I agree. And as I was saying earlier, when the markets tend to be a little bit faster, I tend to slow down. And let's not forget that right now the markets are lacking the catalyst, and I mean the fundamental catalyst from earnings. We are, I think, like 3 weeks away from earnings season, and that is when we're going to start moving again. I think that in a much better structure than what we are trading in right now. It's always difficult to trade the end of the quarters, and especially into the summer and into the fall. These are the two most difficult quarters to trade. But what I do like to look at is trades that are on their own. Mm-hmm. And I like to focus on these specific trades, names that are not into the media as much, names that are definitely either in really well-established power trends or downtrends, names that are independent of the market move. One of the names that I can refer to is actually a trade that we called yesterday in our service, in our swing trading service, and that is CRWD. This is CrowdStrike Holdings, and this is totally a stock that is like saying, market what? Pullback? It's not looking back. It's just powering higher. So this is what you want to focus if you are a swing trader or even a day trader, and if you're trading stocks, you want to focus on something that is independent, something that is moving on its own pace and doesn't have a worry in the world when the market is pulling back. And there are like so many examples like this. Another example would be Etsy, ETSY.
Take
a look. I mean, I don't care, about anything else, but if I have
the consumer likes to buy stuff, there's no doubt about that, right?
I'm like blindly buying it. Like Etsy, perfect weekly rotation off the 20 SMA. Last week we ended in a doji and up this week. I mean, it's a no-brainer for me. Yes, I'm gonna take this pattern every single day and night, and I'm not gonna think twice about it. It's such a perfect trade. And these are some of the examples that I scanned with throughout this weekend. And another stock that hit all our targets today in literally 1 hour from the open, and again, this is not a day trade, this is a swing trade, it's FSLY, which was incredible. So it finally broke out and it hit her, bam, three targets into the 90 and 91, almost into the 92, like in what, less than an hour. It was just an amazing power through to higher. So I tend to stick with these stocks that are forgotten. I don't like to get into the Netflixes yet, into the Apple yet. These are heavy stocks and I like to trade them when they're into their environment, into their earnings environment, where we have that mass participation into them. But there are so many other stocks that we can tap to and truly make a killing into this market. For instance, CNQ again was, this is a Canadian stock. It's Canadian Natural Resources. This was a short today for us from yesterday. I called it yesterday, CNQ. Beautiful move to the downside. And it still has the power to move lower. So you have to have like a pool, a reserve of stocks that are trading on their own. And this is very important for the latter half of earnings season. I always have a pool of stocks that are moving independently and that are ignoring the market. I call these unique trades. And again, I have some other stocks. These are mid-cap stocks that that I look at. And I do have some on my list right now. These are some of them are little baby stocks, though, $2, $3, $15 stocks, but they're moving incredibly well.
Yeah, it's a market of stocks is what you're saying. And through your research, you're able to glean through the 9 million stocks out there and try to find ones that are working off their their own news as opposed to global news.
So I'm going to give you an example right now of one of the stocks that has not triggered yet, but is active. And the stock is EQT. Okay. And this is EQT Corporation Com. And this is a beautiful example off of the weekly, Jim. If you could put, is that the weekly? Yeah, I think it's the weekly.
It's loading up right now, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's not the weekly. Yeah. The weekly is just perfect. I mean, give me a stock like that with a low, higher low. Look at the really nice structure. We have the low right there into March, April. And then we went up, we came back in into that July. We have a higher low. We moved a little bit higher, traded above those higher highs. We came in a little bit. I mean, this is the perfect definition. If that's not a bottom and two higher highs and two higher lows, yeah, that's the perfect definition of a change in the trend.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to take that above those highs right there. So I actually have a signal for that and an entry has not triggered yet, but 1543 is going to be my entry.
I got you. Yeah, so that's really good. And again, that's the value of going with you is that you're doing all the homework to try to extract the companies that are trading off their own specific news, not just, and you know, most stocks really, again, we've been around a long time. When you get 30, 50, 100% away from your 200-day average, that thing's coming back down. I don't know when it's coming back down to the minute, but you know, this thing is about as surprising as sun coming out because we were so far away from the moving averages of all this stuff that it's impossible to maintain that pace.
Right.
And at the end of the day, that's really, I see all we're doing is we're reverting back towards the mean, which is the 50 and the 200-day averages.
Exactly. Right.
You know, so that's why, you know, if you have powder dry, get it ready because in the next 30, 60 days, you'll probably have a pretty good opportunity to buy some of these things very close to their 200-day average. And then they come out with the stimulus. And then we come out with the election is behind us. And then, you know, maybe the, what do you call it? The yield curve might steepen, which means that the long-term rates may go back up a little bit. And that gives the banks a good place to play if they, they can, you know, borrow near for zero interest and at least get some return by loaning out.
Right. And Jim, can I add like my 2 cents in gold? I think for me, gold is just really a straightforward kind of trade. As long as the 1870 support is going to hold, I don't think we're going to have anything, any kind of major pullbacks in it. So that is my cutoff level. And I think that if we're going to break down 1870, we're going to get into the 1800 and that's going to be the decision point right there. So I have indicators that are showing that a rotation may be prone into the 1800 zone and may push the price back up because we have started following this massive trend since January 2019. And since we have regained the 10 EMA, it has been following the 10 EMA. So I think that they want to keep it on the same line.
Yeah. The thing is like I say, and if it's garden variety pullback, 1800 should be about it. If they want to panic everybody out a little bit, that's when they could get it down to the 200 day, which is around that 1700 area, plus or minus $20. Sometimes they do like to, you know, panic everybody and really get everybody. And then that's it. So it'll be interesting to see. What we do know is there could be some good values coming up in both stocks and the gold and silver. And that's why, you know, not getting discouraged when the prices go down, but getting greedy when the prices go down is really the best mentality.
Yep. I want to say something about
Neil's back. Okay, Neil, what do you got, man?
I want to say something about moving averages. So David, if you could put up that picture I sent you to get a chance, is that, you know, if you're just tracking the S&P 500, you are in a lot of trouble. Not that one, but the most recent one I sent you. So I have some indicators where I look at, you know, what are the percent of stocks in the S&P 500 that are above their 50-day moving average or their 200-day moving average. And so right now, I'm looking here, and there are only 34% of stocks in the entire S&P 500. Or no, sorry, 31% that are above their 50-day moving average.
Right.
That is incredibly, incredibly weak.
It's narrow.
You know, and the amount of
stocks. In other words, the things that are going to be strong have been very narrow, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's down a lot today. Yeah. But, you know, if you're trying to trade these things, you can always see the deterioration in the technicals before these crashes happen. So, I mean, we've been short since Friday in the market, because I use an indicator called the bullish percent, and David had that up, I think, a second ago. Yeah, this is the one about percent of stocks above their different moves. And so when I see something like this, I think to myself, okay, this is a scale of 0 to 100. So, I mean, this, every single stock in the S&P 500 is going to have one vote, right? But if you're just looking at the S&P by itself, I mean, the top three stocks, I mean, are almost, I think the last I checked, I don't know if I'm correct exactly on this, but I mean, the top
25%, something like that, right?
Yeah, huge. I think it was even 30%. That's why I didn't even want to say it. But Apple.
Yeah, this has been a risk that's been going on for a long time. But every risk goes on for a long time until it doesn't go on anymore, right? In other words, this thing was risky on the last 25% of the market going up, but it seems now that it's becoming more problematic.
Yeah, I mean, I just see more and more technical deterioration. So if you're going to get a bounce, I mean, you can trade it, but in no way do I see any new highs coming. I mean, I just don't. People are going to give up. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Wall Street's going to cheat you. They're going to cheat you at the bottom and they're going to cheat you at the top.
Right.
And when the market was rallying off the absolute lows, you know, way back earlier in the year, I saw article after article coming out on all the major, you know, networks and apps and things like that from, we're talking top Wall Street investment banks saying, you know, even though there's been a rally, you know, I think we're downside. And guess what? There wasn't. Yeah. Because do you really think Goldman Sachs is going to tell you the market's going to rally if they themselves are going to buy? No, right. Because they want to buy. They want someone to buy from, and that's going to be you. Okay. And this is the same thing as when they were selling AAA insured credit CDOs in the, you know, in the market, in the financial crisis, and at the same time betting against them, you know, in the markets, right?
Yeah.
And I saw some articles coming out last week, and it was very strange to me. And these are some very well-respected people saying there's going to be a melt-up. Oh, because of what Jerome Powell said, there's going to be a melt-up in stocks. And you know what? There's a lot of fundamental reasons why there should be a melt-up stocks, because we're basically, the Federal Reserve is practically going third world country here, printing money, causing tons of inflation. Inflation always goes in stocks. But because I saw these people coming, I think this is just bizarre. You had the huge sell-off. Apple's down over 20%, which is a bear market into one stock by itself. And they're trying to say there's going to be a melt-up. I think to myself, there is no way. There's just no way. And I mean, in the mid-range, the 70% mid-range of a bull market, all the big, you know, research analysts and things like that, they're going to be on your side. They're going to say, oh, we're raising our target on Tesla, blah, 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 et cetera. But when it's the very, very peak and the very, very bottom, they are not on your side. And you can use a lot of these articles as a contrarian indicator, right? Because if they're selling, they need someone to buy. If they're buying, someone sells too. And that's going to be you. I'm sorry. You know, so be very careful when you see these articles. And if you're trying to look for some direction by reading them, because they will fake you out. And you have to just use the technicals. The technicals always know, right? And so being that's basically what I see here. I mean, you got to be very, very careful.
Yeah. I think at some point, though, the prices do change and then people see value, because again, they do have to make some money on their money. Some of these people, you know, who have, you know, they have to make some kind of return. And staying in money market and doing nothing is not a long-term solution to trying to make 6 or 7%. So,
well, you know, back in timing research, so I still remember January, I was on the show.
Yeah.
I said, there's going to be a big crash. Just hit the beach and buy gold and silver and you're going to outperform the market. And you could have been hanging out on an island somewhere and you would have blown the market away. So a lot of people think you got to be invested all the time. I got to put my money to work, But, you know, I mean, I read a book called 80-20 Rule, and the 80-20 Rule is pretty amazing, where, you know, 80% of your gains are going to come from 20% of your stocks.
That's right.
And 80% of your gains, or like 20% of the time you're invested, can also account for 80% of your gains.
Yeah, no, that's why people don't like to get in and out a lot.
So, I mean, you could be in for 2-3 months when the market's just surging.
Right.
And 80% of your gains for the year in just 2 or 3 months. So,
and that's why they level off to a 7 or 8% return long term, because you get big moves up and big moves down. But if you smooth it all out, it seems to end up in those numbers for the last 50 years. So, but you're right. You know, there are periods where it's dangerous. And I don't think anyone's going to argue that September, October, and November, obviously, with all this stuff going on, you know, can be a very volatile period. And there's no doubt we've already started to see it, right?
When I was a retail broker, we had training, and there's this chart they will always show you, and they'll say, okay, well, the thing is about brokers and things like that is they're never going to get you out of the bottom. So at least they'll hold your hand, and that can work out for a lot of people. But in one of the sales charts, they'll say, okay, you know, what if you missed the top 10 best days of the year?
Oh yeah, you're in trouble.
You know, you'll make almost nothing really for the year.
No, there's no doubt. That's why people don't like getting in and out all the time.
What they don't tell you is what if you missed the 10, if you missed the 10 best days and the 10 worst days.
Yeah, you'd probably be all right.
You were better off.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
And they never tell you that.
I hear you. So, we're coming to the...
When the stocks are crashing, don't hold through these things.
Right. We are now coming to the top of the hour, so I definitely want everybody to have a chance to re-identify themselves, of course, and let any special offers you have that you'd like to invite people to take advantage, this is a great time to do it. So, Anka, just a little bit about how to get a hold of Trade Out Loud, and you have any special offers?
All right. We have two things that are going on. First off, we have a free education event going on tomorrow. So if you shoot us an email at info@tradeoutloud.com, we're going to provide you with a login for tomorrow evening. It's at 7 p.m. Eastern. And the second thing that I wanted to talk about, it's coming right around the corner. David and I are having a huge event, and I think, Jim, you're going to be at our event. It's going to be Thursday. It's a week and a half away on October 1st. It's going to be about stock trading, day trading stocks, swing trading stocks. It's all going to be an ABC about stock trading from different traders that we have invited, and we're going to have the material sent out probably this week. And if you guys want to find out more, you can also go on the timingresearch.com website and find out how to register, and actually to register for this event. We're very excited for it. And like I said, if you guys are interested, those of you guys that are listening in and tuning in, tomorrow we have a free educational event about futures trading A to Z. If you're interested, hop on tomorrow. It's at 7 p.m. Eastern. Thanks so much, Jim. And thank you so much, Neil and Michael. Really great commentary. I love your Elliott Waves interpretation and everything. And David for putting this together. And Jim for being the best moderator ever.
Thank you. All right. Let's swing it over to Michael. And Michael, again, any special offer you want to give and anything you want to say at the end here?
Sure. The special offer is that my direction has kind of changed, and I have figured out from doing these wonderful synergy programs with Anka and David that I really like to teach. I love sharing. And so I am now offering a special discount on a block of coaching, and anybody who might be interested. And within that is when we start to learn the basics and some of the advanced methods within Elliott Wave and Fibonacci and moving averages and how those relationships all group together as relates to day trading. And that, right now I'm offering a 35% discount, and you can get that online. And right now I'm limiting it to 10 new coaching clients. I'm more than willing to expand that if the demand is there, but we'll see. And so again, www.logicalsignals.com. I do attempt to write commentary as often as I can, market permitting, but I am working on another more special report, and that is an update on the change in the status quo, which I believe has been crushed, and how we find our way back to the new normal.
Okay. And Neil, what's going on for TraderReview.net, and any special offer you'd like to extend?
Sure. You can just sign up at TraderReview.net, and I give away a lot of good free resources and commentary where I'm always giving the overall direction of the market. And if you want to sign up for my service, it's only $29 to start. And I give 2 hours of videos showing how I use a lot of interesting indicators that a lot of people don't use on how you can time the market and also stay in trades for short term or long term.
Okay. And at optionprofessor.com, you can sign up for the free weekly update that we give. We share our opinions and our observations. And we also have a third-party trading account, a verified trading account that has some fairly strong activity in it. So you can check that out as well. And again, in the weekly update, to give you an idea, the last week's was deceleration is here. So we've been pretty good with stocks, bonds, the U.S. dollar, crude oil, and gold. So go to optionprofessor.com, put in your email, and you'll get a free weekly update from me everywhere. Okay, I'm going back to David now. Thanks everybody for being here. We had a good lineup and a good day. So we'll see you next time. And David, it's back to you.
All right. Thanks everyone. Lots of good info covered today. So yeah, if you didn't see this last week, last Thursday, we did have a full 12-hour day of presentations, lectures covering trading psychology, trading discipline, time management, and other associated topics with that. So if you didn't get a chance to see that, that's 12 hours of education that you can access instantly. And if you just go to timingresearch.com and scroll down a little bit on the homepage there, it says Synergy Traders number 20 trading psychology, and you can Michael did a presentation, Anka did a presentation, and a lot of good educators were on board for that one. And as Anka mentioned, next Thursday we're going to have another full day focused on stock trading. So if you want to join us for that, just watch for be putting out information this week about that event, and you can always access the live events at timingresearch.com/live. So that'll be Thursday, October 1st, and that'll be starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So be sure to join us for that. And just want to thank my guests again for today. Anka Metcalf of TradeOutLoud.com, Michael Filigera of LogicalSignals.com, Neil Batho of TraderReview.net, and Jim, the Option Professor of OptionProfessor.com. So
thank you so much, David. And thank you for, was it 200 what number of today? 270?
For, show? Oh yeah, 275. Yeah.
275. Congratulations, yes, on that. It's incredible. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. What has it been? 6 years now that I've been doing this series. So yeah, it's been a good run so far.
It's incredible. So. Yeah. Congratulations, David. And thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.